Pastor. I appreciate so much again the opportunity to be here this evening, and what a joy and a privilege it is to be back at Beckwith. And I want to say that I appreciate the Lord helping my wife Lisa get to feeling the better, and she's going to be flying into Alexandria tomorrow, and I'm going to pick her up at 1:30. And so she wants to be here in the conference and is looking forward to be here with you through the rest of the week. And so I praise the Lord for him helping her to get to feeling better. And I told her, I said, yeah, you know, it's amazing to me how you got well after I ironed all my shirts. She said, isn't the Lord good? Isn't the Lord good? Amen. But again, it's a blessing to see you. Thank you so much for the meals. Been enjoying them. Appreciate all that the church has provided for our creature comforts. And it's been a blessing meeting your pastor. Has a sweet heart, and I praise the Lord for it. And I've so enjoyed the fellowship thus far, my brother. And if you behave yourself, I'll probably enjoy it for the rest of the week. Amen. No, if I behave myself, he'll enjoy it for the rest of the week. This evening, I want to speak to you about a subject that it's going to be a little different. It will bear my responsibility to define the subject and the principle that I want to deal with. Last night, we found that the attitude that we must maintain in our Christian life, and an attitude that is so essential to our involvement in worldwide evangelization. By the way, I probably have stated this somewhere over the years during the conferences, but the Gethsemane Baptist Church where I pastor, we foster a missions philosophy that does not distinguish between foreign missions and home missions. We foster the philosophy of world missions. The world needs the gospel. See, it might be across the sofa, across the street, or across the state, but everyone, everywhere needs the gospel, and we've been told to preach the gospel to every creature. So that attitude of, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do, I believe is absolutely essential in any endeavor that we embark upon to serve the Lord. But tonight I want to speak to you about I call it a principle from the Word of God, but it is the technical aspect of putting the practical to work in worldwide evangelization. And this principle is known in the Scriptures as the ethic of reciprocity. Boy, I'll tell you, isn't that good? That's a big statement in it. The ethic of reciprocity. And, you know, if I probably asked different people in here, well, what does that mean to you? We'd get some different explanations about what this is. Miss Dana's looking at me like, huh? Say what? Amen? You never heard of the ethic of reciprocity? What? Where have you all been, living under a rock all your Christian life? You don't know what the ethic of reciprocity is? You know I'm being facetious for emphasis, all right? I know this principle is something else in the Word of God, but it's actually known in history. It predates the New Testament as the ethic of reciprocity. And we understand it, but I'm going to show you something about it this evening that I believe the Lord showed me, and it helped me to understand why I'm not doing some things, but it also encouraged me to get busy doing some things. Not just not doing, but doing some things. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, and you're going to see the ethic of reciprocity. As our Lord Jesus Christ spoke it, recorded under inspiration in the New Testament, it comes at the end of his teaching of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, where Jesus deals with a number of subjects and a number of situations. And then he says in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even unto them, for this is the law and the prophets. Now, some of you are saying, wait a minute, ethic of reciprocity. What are you talking about? We know that as the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But you see, it's only been known as the golden rule in the New Testament dispensation. Throughout history, and secular history, it's been known as the ethic of reciprocity. An ethic is something that is right to do, something that is good to do. Reciprocity means to return, return in kind, to reciprocate. Does that word sound different? Yeah, how many of you heard the word reciprocate? Reciprocity, that sounds like a really weird one. But that's actually what the principle is called. It's called the ethic of reciprocity. Jesus told it to us, and we now know it as the golden rule. Did you know that the golden rule, when it is obeyed by a lost person or a saved person, will produce harmony in society? Did you know that if everybody on this planet just obeyed one thing from the Bible, now it wouldn't save them, they wouldn't get saved, but the planet would be at peace and people would be at peace one with another, and they'd be a whole lot more open to the gospel than those who are angry and vicious and violent at each other. I mean, you try to witness to a jihadist and see if that's going to work real good. By the way, brother, I appreciated that. I learned some things tonight. Amen. You may not have heard of the ethic of reciprocity, but I didn't know all that about that, brother. So that's a blessing. And I will tell you this. I do understand what you say by flashbacks and things that bring your attention. In 1994, I took a trip to Washington. I preached a conference at Faith Baptist Church in Vienna, Virginia, and I got to go to the Vietnam War Memorial. I'd never been there. I wanted to go there. I have a friend whose name is on the wall that was killed at our base. And I was walking over by the statue of the nurses' statue there. I don't know if you've been to the War Memorial, but where the nurses' statue is, where the nurses are shielding the soldiers as the helicopters come in. And I was standing there, and I was looking at that with my wife, Lisa, and a helicopter flew over. And I mean to tell you, it transported me in my mind and in my heart back to Vietnam. Now, I wasn't afraid. You see, I wasn't a ground pounder. I wasn't a bush beater. I was on a military base. We got rocketed and zappered quite a lot. But it just put me in the whole situation. And I can understand what a soldier must go through who's been in a combat situation, as you said, and saw his friends be killed or blown up, and something happened to bring that all back. And so I really understand that, and I appreciated that so much this evening. But back to this ethic of reciprocity. If everybody would just obey this one biblical admonition, this one simple principle of do unto others as you would have them do unto you, can you imagine how much peace would be in the world? But you see, the sinful heart doesn't like to obey God's word. It's in rebellion to God's word. And it just can't get to the point until we're born again of the Spirit of God, where we have the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us in all truth, to be able to understand these things. But I want to speak to you this evening about the golden rule. And did you know the golden rule is probably one of the most important aspects of worldwide evangelization? Doing unto others as you would have them do unto you? You think about that. I want you to first of all look at this verse with me, verse 12 again. And I want to talk just two things about it this evening. I haven't purposed to be long this evening. You know, there's sometimes I preach longer, and there's sometimes I preach shorter. If, you know, when I have what I have to say gets said, then you know, we're done. You know, I hate preachers who like doors. They're always closing, but they never just quite get shut, you know. But I want you to see two things about this verse, the golden rule. First of all, I want you to understand that this verse is a renowned concept. It's renowned. It's well known and widely known. But it's mostly known in history as the ethic of reciprocity. And as I've already said, it predates the New Testament. There are writings older than the New Testament. Now, of course, the principles of the New Testament and the Word of God is ancient because it originates with God. But I'm talking about there are older writings than the New Testament. And the ethic of reciprocity and the principle that Jesus called out here in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12 has been in print for a long, long time in many societies, in many writings throughout history. By the way, this is indeed what's known as a concept of antiquity. This concept predates the New Testament. Listen to this. The Code of Hammurabi is a well-preserved Babylonian law code of ancient Mesopotamia dating back to 1754 B.C., You know, the New Testament was written around 65 to 90 AD. So you're talking about a long time before the New Testament was written. Now, by the way, that doesn't make it more important than the Word of God. It just means it predates it. All right. But listen to this. It dealt with the reciprocity of what is known as the lex talionis, which is Latin for an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Well, where have we heard about an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth? That's the Old Testament, isn't it? You see, All civilizations understood that. I believe that God has put the innate knowledge of Himself in every person who has ever been born. That's what Romans 1 teaches us, that His eternal power and Godhead are seen by the things which are made, so that we are without excuse. You see, God has put enough of Himself knowledge in humanity or in His creation so that when we look around and we see the stars and we see the magnitude and the marvelousness of creation, we're not supposed to say, whoa, aren't we grand? Look what we made. No, we're supposed to say, man, there's somebody bigger than me. Did you know that there, statistically, it is said that there are more atheists at the end of a microscope than there are at the end of a telescope? Scientists look into a telescope and they see the vastness of the universe and they say, whoa, man, I'm not very big and according to all this. Scientists look into a microscope and they see the little bitty molecules and they say, we're big stuff. We know more than God. But you see, the ethic of reciprocity is something that people have known throughout civilizations. Everybody everywhere has known, don't do things to people just because they do them to you. But when they get their God consciousness messed with, they say, they did it to me, I'm going to do it to them. Listen up, boys. You ever done that to your brothers or your sisters? Why are y'all fighting? Well, I hit him. Why'd you hit him? Well, he hit me. Why'd you kick? Well, he kicked me. That's my grandsons. We got three of them. They're biters. Boy, why don't you bite them if you don't want to be bit? Because they believe in the ethic of reciprocity. They reciprocate in kind. Well, we never taught them to do that, brother. Yeah. I never taught my girls when they got in a scuffle or a fuss with one another that, you know, if one hits you, you can hit them back. No, they just said, hey, that's common knowledge. You hit me, I hit you back. So history has always known about this. It's kind of innate in humanity. So this is what I call a renowned concept. It's a concept of antiquity. But not only is it a concept of antiquity, it's a concept of great variety. Now, you stay with me because I'm going somewhere with this. We'll get it all when I put it all back together, right? But it's also a concept of great variety. The concept finds expressions in many forms and in many writings throughout history. For instance, we know it as the Golden Rule. It's been known as the Ethic of Reciprocity. Ancient China. The Golden Rule existed among all of the major philosophical schools of ancient China. Mohism, Taoism, Confucianism, and it found its form in this. Never impose on others what you would not choose for yourself. That's how the Chinese stated it. Long before Jesus said it. Now, the only reason they knew there was something to state like that is because God had put that innate knowledge in His creation. We are created in the likeness of God, right? In ancient Egypt, the ancient Egyptians concept of mat, M-A-A-T, appears in the story of the eloquent peasant, which dates to the Middle Kingdom, 2040 B.C. to 1650 B.C. And here's how it's stated. Now, in this command, we say, do not do to the doer to cause that he do thus to you. Well, it's just another way of saying, don't do to others what you don't want them to do to you. Amen. Then you go to ancient Greece. The Golden Rule is in its prohibitive form, was a common principle in ancient Greek. The philosopher spoke about it. Do not do to others that which angers you when they do it to you. Plato is the first person known to have said this in 428 B.C. Now, how did they know all of this? Jesus hadn't spoken it. It hadn't been recorded in the New Testament yet. By the way, the ethic of reciprocity in the Old Testament was what is known as negative, and it required only a passive participation. You just didn't do some things. See the negative? Don't do to others what they do to you. Well, what do you have to do to obey that? You don't have to do anything. How many of you see that? If you say, if your sister hits you, don't you hit her back. Well, what do you have to do to obey that? You don't have to do anything. Don't hit her. And so this is a concept of great variety. Ancient Rome, following the writings of Phoebus in 46 B.C., expect from others what you did to them, but do not do what or to them what you expected them to do to you. See, it's been phrased many different ways and in many different phrases in many different... In India, in the ancient Sanskrit tradition, 600 B.C., here's how they phrased it. It says, let not a man consent to do those things to another which he knows will cause sorrow to himself. So you say, well, you know, all of these people, they just took that from what Jesus said. Jesus hadn't said it yet. It's a long way off before our Lord recorded it. So this is what's known as a renowned concept. It's a well-known concept. And I know some of you are thinking, what in the world does this little history lesson have to do with missions? Hold on to your hats. I'm going to let you know, all right? So this is a concept of antiquity. It is what is known as a negative passive participation requirement. Because all through the Old Testament, and any time you hear this phrased in any society, it was, don't do this. Even if they do it to you. Don't, do not, don't, don't. How many of you see the negative in that? Don't, do not, do not, do not, don't. But I want you to read it again, and you may never have seen that our Lord Jesus Christ did something with this concept that absolutely is astounding, as only God Himself could do. So you see, first of all, while it's a renowned concept of great antiquity, great variety, I want you to see, secondly, though, that it is a reversed concept. Read it again and see that Jesus reversed it. He took it from a negative, passive participation to a positive, active participation. Notice he says, therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you. Notice he's not saying not do to you, but should do to you. And do ye even to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Now, I want you to follow this concept because it's absolutely amazing. I did not realize for all of my Christian life that I've been involved in this concept without fully understanding it. Because Jesus took it from the negative and the passive to the positive and the active. So now Jesus said, I don't want you to be non-reactionary. I want you to be proactive. I want you to get involved. I don't want you just to sit back in society and see, yeah, there's a guy over there. He mugged that person over there. Well, I'm never going to mug anybody because I don't want to mug me. Well, that's good and that's true. But he wants us to help the mugged and give the gospel to the mugger. And so in this whole aspect, Jesus reverses the concept. Now notice, the concept is turned completely around. We are not now to not retaliate. We are to initiate. How many of you are following me so far? All right. We're to initiate. All right. Whatsoever things you would that men should do unto you, do you also unto them? So Jesus has turned this thing around. He's turned it, literally on its head. He takes the precept from the negative to the positive, from the passive to the active, from the narrative to the imperative. It is not just good advice, but it is an overruling of vice in general. That is, the desire for revenge is turned to the desire for justice. And so what we discover here is, dearly beloved, Romans 12:19, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So let God deal with all of this, and let's get busy dealing with what we're supposed to deal with, and that is what? Preach the gospel to every creature, go into all the world and do that. Amen? Go into all the world, what? Making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now here's how I'm going to tie this in, all right? You're lost. And you're the proverbial heathen sitting in darkness. You don't know you're going to go to hell. Wouldn't you want somebody who knew the gospel? To bring the gospel to you? You see, the ethic of reciprocity is turned around by the teachings of Jesus. He says now, I'm not telling you not to do things that people would do unto you. That's obvious. I put that into human psyche. I put that into the human nature. He said, what I'm telling you to do is do some things to others that you would want somebody to do to you. Are you following it? Following it with me? So that means this. I'm a missionary with a burden on my heart to get to the place of God's calling that I might be involved in the ministry He calls me to. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I want to help that. I want to be involved in that because if I was a missionary that needed prayer and financial support, I would sure want somebody to help me. I would sure want somebody to be involved with me. If I was a person with a hurting heart, I would sure want my neighbor who knew the gospel to minister to me. Are you following it? Jesus says, whatsoever things you would that men should do unto you, do you even unto them. He turns it completely around. He turns it on its head. And He can do that because He's God. He can do that because He understands us like we could never possibly even understand ourselves. And so this formerly known ethic of reciprocity is actually the golden rule in reverse. And so that means, dear friends, let's just don't sit and say, well, you know, it's not my fault. I didn't do anything. I wasn't involved in it. May I tell you, we're not going to get reward for sitting. You say, well, yeah, but I won't get any in trouble if I just do that. I'm not too sure about that. We don't obey the commands of our Savior, Lord, and Jesus Christ. Well, that may be negative and that may be passive, but I'll tell you when it's supposed to be active and it's supposed to be, getting involved in it, I think there's going to be much to answer for in the life that our Lord shall bring us to. And so the concept is turned completely around, but the concept is tuned completely sound. It's completely sound. You can apply it in every area of your life. I wonder if you've ever even applied it when you go out to a restaurant to eat and you're going to tip the waiter or waitress. What would you like to happen to you if you were the waitress? Or if you were the waiter? I will guarantee you're not saying, I hope they leave me a half a dollar. Well, I hope today they don't even tip me because I don't like tips anyway. No, what would you want done to you if you were that person? Man, I'd like to get a good tip today. You know, I'm only making $2.43 an hour as a waitress and the rest I get on tips. See, the process and the principle is now proactive. And apply that, if you will. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do to get the gospel around the world? Whatsoever you would that men should do unto you, do ye even unto them. Would you like somebody to have sent the gospel to you? Would you wanted somebody to have shared the grace of God with you? I know that I would. I know Jack Thrift. I mean, he peppered me with the gospel for 6 months. I was the NCIC of the base fuels lab, and he was one of my lab technicians, and he witnessed to me every day. Drove me near enough crazy. Put him out on the backside of the flight line to sample aircraft to get him out of my hair, but he didn't quit. He didn't quit. Because you know why? Somebody told him the gospel, and he got saved. And he realized, man, I wanted that to happen to me, and I want it to happen to others. And your involvement, continually so, or maybe beginning in applying the golden rule, is actually you now becoming active and proactive, coming out of the negative and the passive, getting into the positive and the active, and doing unto these and to others exactly what you would want them to do unto you. Pastors getting you to go out into the community. Saturday morning we were scheduled to go out together. You know, if I was somebody sitting in DeRidder and I was brokenhearted, maybe my wife just left me or my husband just left me or had a child that died or somebody sick or something, wouldn't you want somebody who had an answer for the heart that was broken and for the hurt that you are feeling to reach you. It's kind of what you're talking about, isn't it, brother? Kind of what you're talking about. So I want to leave you with this evening. We know the golden rule. We've heard the golden rule. But I promise you that most of us, if not all of us, I'm not, you know, going to say majority, but most of us think of it in a more negative way. Don't do to somebody what you don't want them doing to you. But Jesus turned it around and he said, no, I want you to do to them what you would have them do unto you. But he wasn't saying beat them up, because how many in here want to beat somebody up because you really want them to beat you up? See, he didn't have to explain it like that, did he? Because he already knows the human heart, knows that after all, he created the human heart. He knows what's in man. The Bible says that of him during his earthly ministry. So Jesus knows. There's some things he doesn't have to tell us about that. We already know. But what he's doing is he's turning it around and he's fine-tuning it to our hearts so that we will use it in our service for him. And we will be proactive in doing our best to get the gospel to every creature. This evening, before you lay your head to rest, would you pray this prayer? Lord, help me to see somebody that needs something done unto them that I would love to have done unto me. And apply it to getting the gospel to the world, home and abroad, worldwide evangelization. And you will have taken the ethic of reciprocity, that is an old and ancient concept, and you will understand it and put it in line with Jesus as he brings it to us in the New Testament. And we say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I know what you'll have me to do. You'll have me to do unto others what I would have them do unto me. Let's stand together and bow for prayer. With every head bowed and every eye closed, just for these passing moments, Matthew 22:34-40. But when the Pharisees had heard that he, that is Jesus, had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And notice Jesus put the golden rule in the same vein. He said, for this is the law and the prophets. In Luke 6:31, again he says, and as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Send the gospel around the world. Send the gospel around the state, around the parish, across the street, across the sofa, as I've said, across the street, because that's what I really would want somebody to do to me if I were lost and on my way to hell. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight. I pray that this has been a help to our hearts as we tune our hearts to the theme and the subject at hand this week, to continue an involvement in giving and praying that others might go, and to be involved ourselves in trying to reach our own communities with the gospel. Help us, Lord, to obey the golden rule. We see how you have turned it around from what the human heart understands it as, and you've taken it from the negative and the passive, and you put it to the positive and to the active. And I pray that you'll find your servants, your people, we who are called by your name, excited and exuberant about getting the job done. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you, Pastor.